This is HDN.
Friday in the Beaver Bank Bunker, heading into the weekend. But before that, let's get today out of the way.
All right, and happy Freedom of the City Day.
Yeah, happy Freedom of the City Day to you too. It just seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
I know.
We celebrated the last one.
78th Highlanders will be taking to the streets today in Halifax with the drums and the bayonets and all of the pomp and circumstance.
I know what pomp is, but what the hell is circumstance when it comes to the...
Exactly.
I know the song Pomp and Circumstance, but really when you say all the pomp and circumstance, it's like, I know what a circumstance is.
Yeah.
And I know pomp is just putting on, like, you know, big festive kind of, oh, all the pomp. But
no, I think it just means piss up and bake sales.
Now, what's the significance of this? What exactly is Freedom of the City?
I think it's the one day that the military can take over the town.
Now, anywhere else, that's called a coup, isn't it?
Exactly. Here in Halifax, it's called Freedom of the City.
Yeah, the War Measures Act will not be called if you want to take over the city. So what, we can be, like, bossed around by the military today?
I guess, technically speaking, sure.
Oh, great.
Ooh, talk about the end of an era. They're doing a complete house cleaning over at the Metro Center. They have taken down all of the exterior signing on the Metro Center building. So they're getting ready to rebrand it as Scotiabank Center, but kind of sad to see the...
Now, where's this exterior signage? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the side of the building itself. Like,
oh, the sign that says Metro Center on it.
Yeah, right on the...
That big kind of triangular blue-looking thing that nobody really could figure out what the hell that was in the first place.
The building itself,
it's going to look nice. They're going to put a big banner or something across there.
I hope so,
I thought that you meant they took away that big screen on
side
there.
No. That's going to stay. I mean, that's a
major marketing
thing. Of course. I mean,
that has been keeping people awake at night for years in those high-rises across the street.
Exactly. Shelter Nova Scotia with a bit of an interesting request. They said they are lacking personal care products for its clients this summer. In particular, they are looking for deodorant and sunscreen. And officials with Shelter Nova Scotia say they are completely out of both products. And it is really imperative this time of the year. When you think about it, if you are living on the streets, sunscreen is very important to you to keep you healthy. And, I mean, deodorant,
That's for the rest of us.
So, Shelter Nova Scotia, they can see as many as 140 clients per night. And, I mean, you do the math on that. That's a lot of sunscreen that is required. So, just wander on over to their website, Shelter Nova Scotia, to find out how you can make a donation and make somebody's life a little bit better. So, when you were a kid... How much did the Tooth Fairy bring you?
Quarter.
25 cents?
25. Well, I'm thinking it might have been a dime at the very beginning, but yeah, pretty much 25
cents. 25 cents?
I think, yeah, for the molars. It wasn't enough for me, though. That's why I hung on to one of my baby teeth. I still have one baby molar in
That's
there.
That's right.
Probably over 50 years I've hung on to that baby.
Good Lord. Mm. Well, I know at our house, the Tooth Fairy would bring some cash, but always brought a brand new toothbrush as well. There was always some dental care products involved. The Tooth Fairy was very much into dental care.
You'd think that the Tooth Fairy would want all your teeth to fall out. I mean, there's a market for teeth, right? Well, maybe the value of teeth goes down if there's a cavity.
Perhaps so.
That's probably why. You know, it was really bad. Speaking of that, we had a dentist who lived in our neighborhood that would give us all toothbrushes at Halloween.
Oh, geez. That's just evil.
That's evil. We go there and it's like, oh, look. It's like almost like the Charlie Brown special where you go like, I got a rock. You go to that house, it's like, I got
a toothbrush.
The hell?
Well,
you know, almost every year the guy's house is covered in toilet paper. You'd think he'd learn.
New survey out, finding that kids in Atlantic Canada have a reason to smile. The Tooth Fairy pays a premium for baby teeth in the Maritimes and Newfoundland. An average of $3.46 a tooth.
Oh my God.
19% higher.
$3.46. What is the Tooth Fairy writing checks now? Or is it just all in pennies?
that's the average.
Oh, okay.
19% higher than the national average.
Yet another reason to move to the Maritimes.
35% of respondents in the survey in Atlantic Canada said their kids found $5 or more per tooth under their pillows in 2014. Interesting, it would appear that the Tooth Fairy in Quebec is the chintziest of all. Ontario, apparently the second highest going rate for baby teeth, $3.21 a piece. And so there you go. Atlantic Canada, the tooth fairy seems to prefer us the most. So friends and fans of politics in Nova Scotia in the 1980s will definitely remember the name Billy Joe McLean. He was a minister in the John Buchanan government.
Okay.
And went on to his political career to become the mayor of Port Hawkesbury and has been mayor for, oh God, got to be close to 20 years now.
Right.
But he also has a couple of other endeavors. He is also a bar owner in Port Hawkesbury, and he's in a spot of trouble.
I guess if Halifax can have a brewmaster as mayor, Port Hawkesbury can have a bar owner as mayor, sure.
Exactly, yeah. Billy Joe McLean owns the Carriage House Lounge, and apparently allowed four female exotic dancers to perform at the same time for four men at the bar. The dancers also in physical contact with the men, which is against provincial regulations.
That's a good ratio. That's a one-to-one ratio.
Well,
there.
And that's part of the problem. I guess you're only supposed to have one dancer performing at a time, and there has to be a one-meter barrier between the dancer and the bar patrons. Now, I guess the exotic dance thing is not a regular feature. They might bring them in a couple of times a year, maybe for special events. But anyway, they lost their liquor license for Thursday and Friday. So if you're looking for a drink at the Carriage House Lounge in Port Hawkesbury, you're going to be shit out of luck.
I want to know what kind of exotic dancers they would get to come down to Port Hawkesbury.
I know. Which reminds me of a story.
I mean, in a case like that, you really don't want to have a one-to-one ratio, you know?
No. Hopefully, they had all of their appendages, because this reminds me of a story.
Oh, pardon me.
My brother-in-law.
It's like choosing lobster. You got some strippers. They got all their appendages? Okay, are they canners?
Oh, God. My brother-in-law, Dave, went to a bachelor party in Moncton. This was several years ago. Okay. And they hired for the groom to be a couple of strippers to come to the hotel suite.
Guys do that.
As guys will do.
Yeah.
So I guess the party is just ramping up. There's a knock at the door, and these two strippers come in wearing trench coats.
Okay.
The two ladies, as my dad would put it, were good from far, but far from good. They doff the trench coats to reveal that one of the strippers is missing an arm. A one-armed stripper. The second,
now, that would make pole dancing very difficult.
The second stripper
reveals
that she had just had a baby less than 2 weeks before. So you can only imagine what that looked like.
Who hired these strippers? The bride-to-be, perhaps? I'll take care of that.
Which just, we still howl about that to this day. I just get, it's like, wow, how far down the food chain are you if you're a stripper in Moncton with one arm?
Next stop, Port Hawkesbury.
That's right, she's doing the circuit. And so it looks like we have a good idea what's going on Robie Street. Remember old Jane's on the Common?
We still
down?
Have a gift certificate to Jane's on the Common. You mean we can't use it?
No, it closed down quite a while ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Robie Street Station is what it's going to be called. And they're billing themselves, at least on Facebook, as Diner Cafe Breakfast and Brunch Restaurant. So it looks like all-day breakfast will be alive and well on Robie Street. They are hiring right now, actually. And if you are interested, robystreet.station@gmail.com. And they're looking for everything, full-time, part-time, any restrictions in your schedule, like school, church, children. And they also
having to record a podcast.
That too, yeah. and something fun about yourself. Sounds like it's going to be a cool, fun place. The pictures on Facebook make it seem like it's going to be sort of a very fun, vibrant, colorful diner.
Great for the university crowd.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder if they'll accept that gift certificate that we have from Jane's on the Common.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, on Monday, I do believe we put the word out about the bananas in the fridge. All of our lives, we were told that bananas turn black in the fridge.
Keep
them. You don't put bananas
in the
fridge.
It's a horrible thing.
Matter of fact, my family used to keep bananas on top of the fridge. That's
right,
where the bananas were sitting.
Yeah.
On the actual refrigerator.
Okay.
And then we tried it after watching this woman say, put your bananas in the fridge if you want to keep the fruit fly population down. And had quite a few replies about that.
Okay.
Stuart said, I put a banana in my fridge and it turned black.
Ooh.
It's not BS. You must have used a defective banana. And our friend Kat Fulton Wow, she had two good answers here, and I'm going to read these to you because I think everybody's right in this one. First of all, bananas. They will ripen at room temperature away from heat or direct sun. Don't refrigerate underripe bananas because they won't get any riper.
Okay.
Once they get to the right stage, however, you can put them in the refrigerator for up to 2 weeks. The outside will turn black.
Yeah.
But the fruit is still quite edible. It's really yummy. Now, two, the bananas that are shipped to many parts of the world from places like Colombia and Costa Rica and places like that, they're picked green from the trees.
Okay.
And they're kept from ripening until they reach the shops. As the banana ripens, all that mealy, squishy starch is supposed to turn into sugar. Unfortunately, if the bananas are refrigerated at any time between being picked and being eaten, they won't ripen properly. So don't stick them in the fridge if they're not ripe yet.
Right. So wait until they're at the exact moment that you like them.
And she says the best thing to do is to get a paper bag and store them somewhere at room temperature. Hang them from that hook that we have, you know, the banana hook, that type of thing. Yeah. That way they won't bruise. And once they're ripe, stick them in the fridge.
All right. And you don't have the fruit flies, which was the main objective for us anyway.
And she also says, open them like a monkey.
Ah!
Now, my niece showed me how to do this. It's really funny. The monkeys hang on to the stem of the banana.
Right.
And then they peel it from the bottom.
From the bottom.
And it's so easy to peel from the bottom. If you're holding onto the stem, you just peel it. And it just, it's almost like that is the way that it should be done. And that way you have a little handle to hold on to as well. You hold on to the stem.
So what you're saying is that the monkeys are superior.
To a lot of people, especially those people that stay in the left lane on Magazine Hill.
Hey, got this message on Facebook today. Apparently, Appleton Estate has released a limited edition Halifax version of their Appleton Estate's rum. Mm. It's called Halifax Heritage Edition, and you can find it on sale right now at the NSLC.
I wonder what's on the front of the bottle. A picture of the Blue Nose sinking?
No.
Wasn't it the Blue Nose that sank just outside of Jamaica, laden with bananas and rum?
Actually, funny enough, they have the Halifax Town Clock. And then off to the right, looks like the Peggy's Cove Lighthouse and the Rocks. And then to the left, there is some ships in the harbor. Yes.
Okay. Obviously, somebody down in Jamaica has Google. And those three things came up and they stuck them on the label. I do believe, isn't the Blue Nose, the original Blue Nose, didn't it sink just outside Jamaica? Or was it the Bahamas?
I think it was the Bahamas.
I'm trying to think of that damn vignette. You know, it might not be a bad idea to dredge that baby up. Probably do better than the new one now that they've been working on in Lunenburg.
So earlier this week, we were talking about rum running. And I was talking about my family's...
Your family's dark, hidden past.
My dark, hidden past, yes. It turns out that Prohibition ended in Canada a few years before it ended in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So there was certainly still a market for Canadian booze in the U.S.
Yes.
Now, you joked that my grandfather was working for Al Capone. Turns out you weren't too far from the truth.
Oh?
I found out from my mother that my grandfather, Cluett, was born and raised in Newfoundland, left Newfoundland when he was 17, came to Nova Scotia, stayed here briefly, and then went to Ontario, to the lakes, to run rum.
Over the Great Lakes?
Yeah.
Into the States?
Chicago.
Well, then he did work for Al Capone.
He did work for Al Capone.
He not only was working for Al Capone, but he was running from the damn Untouchables.
Yeah.
That's Chicago, baby.
Now, I've got to go see this for myself, but Mom says she actually has a photograph of him and his shipmates on the boat in the Great Lakes from 1926.
With a Tommy gun in his hand and stuff?
I don't know.
Wow.
But I've got to have a look-see of this for myself because this is quite the piece of family history.
Any pictures of him in handcuffs with Elliot Ness behind him?
Best to my knowledge, my grandfather was never arrested for his rum-running efforts, but only did that for a few years before he came back to Nova Scotia and eventually settled into a career at the Halifax shipyards. Listen, if you're wandering around downtown and saw the wave on the waterfront and saw that it was fenced off, Fear not, it is not under arrest. No need to raise for bail. The wave is just being fixed right now. Apparently, some of the soft rubberized material that surrounds the wave came up and some of the loose gravel underneath was getting spread around.
Oh, can I offer a suggestion?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the number of people that disregard the signs that say, stay the hell off this thing. It's a piece of sculpture. Get your kids off of it. Okay, now we're starting. I'm going to rant on this Friday.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your rant.
Okay, drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. Not only do kids climb all over that damn thing, mm-hmm. but there are parents standing there right beside the damn signs that say, keep off, do not climb.
Yep.
What more do you need, parents? You're putting your damn kids in danger. It's this big concrete, well, it's not even a wave. It looks like a tongue. It's a big concrete tongue that they're climbing on. That thing's going to tip over. And then these parents are the kind that would go, oh, I'm going to sue the city for having this unsafe thing there. When a sign says, keep the hell off, keep the hell off. And that goes for your damn kids, too. You've ruined the thing. There's a fence around there now. We're spending a whole shitload of money to get it repaired. And it's because of your kids. Thank you very much. Read the signs.
Exactly. It's not a piece of playground equipment. It's actually an art installation.
Now, just down the road, there's a ship there. Now, that is a piece of playground equipment.
That you can climb all over like a monkey.
As long as you eat the bananas the proper way.
Heads up, we do have a beach closure to tell you about. Birch Cove Beach in Dartmouth is closed to swimming until further notice because of high bacteria levels.
That is the Halifax Daily News for this week. Have yourself a great weekend. Back on Monday.
Until then.